Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 23. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the privilege and the honor that we have been given tonight to assemble ourselves together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, whom we dearly love, for the purpose of corporately and togetherly seeking to bring honor and glory to your name. So God, I pray that you would receive our praises and our worship tonight, that you would excite our hearts to the very things that we should be rejoicing about, in that we have Christ as our Savior and our Lord, and we are entering into a season where we are celebrating His coming, and we're being reminded of why He came. So God, I pray that you would work in and through us tonight. Be with the words that are said. God, it is important that words that are said from the pulpit are truth and are biblical. And so, God, I pray that you would supersede what goes out from this pulpit, that all that is said is true and needs to be said, and all that is false or doesn't need to be said is not. So, God, I pray that you would open hearts and ears to these wonderful truths of your word. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for that tonight in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 23, as we continue our series on a biblical Christmas, not a cultural one. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. That's impossible. Say amen. Humanly impossible. A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And all God's people said. These words that are recorded for us in verse 23 of Matthew chapter number 1 are the words that were spoken to Joseph, the fiancé of Mary, spoken to him by the angel of the Lord as he contemplated putting away Mary privately because he has discovered that she is pregnant and they have not been together. So the angel comes to Joseph and reveals to him that indeed Mary is pregnant, but she is still a virgin. She will bring forth a son, and his name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. It's interesting that a name is given here, and then the name that is given is interpreted. Now, Joseph is a Jewish carpenter, right? He would certainly know the meaning of the Hebrew word Emmanuel. He's a Jew. He's a Hebrew. He would not need the interpretation, yet the angel does interpret the term Emmanuel, and we ask the question, why would the angel of the Lord interpret the Hebrew into the Greek language? And I think it is because this child, this son, this gift is not only to the Jewish people, but it is for all people. It is for Jews and Gentiles. God will send His Son, and His Son will take care of the sins of the world. and the provision of this Messiah that will be birthed by Mary is for all nations, Hebrews and Greeks. I think it would also mean that all people need this gift. It's not just the Jews that need a Messiah. Gentiles needed a Messiah as well. Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men are condemned. All men are, by default, going to spend eternity in torment. Not just Jews and not just Gentiles, but all men. So God sends His Son to all people because all people need His Son. I know we think our country needs a tax break. I'm glad for a tax break. But our country needs the Son. Both Jew and Gentile are condemned sinners, and we all need the provision of God here in the Son that will be born. So the angel tells Joseph the name of this supernatural child that will be born to his fiancée Mary, who is still a virgin. The child that Mary will carry is conceived by the Holy Spirit. His name is Emmanuel. And his name, Emmanuel, is meant to carry a specific meaning to who this child truly is and what the purpose of this child truly is. The name Emmanuel means God with us. Now you understand if you read the New Testament, nobody's going to call this child Emmanuel. Say amen. Nobody's going to call him Emmanuel. What are they going to call him? Jesus. He's going to be named Jesus. So what is this Emmanuel thing? The name here of Emmanuel is not intended to be his name, but it is to carry the meaning of who this child is. The child is God. It is God manifest in the flesh. This is the Word of God being made flesh and dwelling with us. And what is being communicated here is that this child will not be a normal, ordinary child. This baby will be God. God with us. Child is very God, and by his birth, very God will be with us. Of course, you understand he's very man as well. Fully God, fully man. But he's God. Now, historically, we know through the annals of history that the birth of Jesus happened, but it is by faith that we must believe that Jesus Christ, the one who lays in Bethlehem's manger, the one who is carried in a woman's arms, the one who lives and suffers and dies on a cross, is God. I know historically Jesus came, but by faith I know He's God. Christ is not an angel, He is God. It is the incarnation of God Himself, God clothed in human flesh. And there had been thousands of years of man's efforts to try to rise up and reach God. But at every point, man had failed. The best man could do was fall hopelessly short of the glory of God. As the song says, "When I could not go to Him, praise God, He came to me." God came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Emmanuel, God with us. Let me give you three reasons or three results of God's being with us in Emmanuel. Number one, Emmanuel, God with us, to reverse our condemnation. God comes to be with us to reverse our condemnation. It is remarkable that God, the infinite, would dwell in a frail body, the frail body of a child, and tabernacle in the suffering form of a lowly man. God was in Christ. He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, you understand that when God becomes man, that is a descent. That is a stooping. The Lord descended to the very depth of humiliation and entered into alliance with a nature which did not occupy the chief place in the scale of existence. It would have been low enough if Christ had become an angel. If he would have taken the form of a noble angel, that would have been a descent in itself. But he stooped even lower than the angels in becoming a man. Remember that Christ not only became flesh, but he took on all that is included in flesh: the suffering, the hungering, the dying. The God of our universe clothed himself in what the Bible calls dust. Now you understand God is a spirit, right? No one can see God. No one can see God's face and live, is what the Old Testament tells us. But we have here the unveiling of the invisible God. It will be God revealing himself to us so that Jesus can say, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." God condescends to take on flesh, not that he may judge and condemn us, but that he might save us. He does not come to destroy us, but he comes to put himself between the wrath of God and man. He comes to bring peace to the hearts of those who were enemies and hostile toward God. He comes to deliver a fallen race. He comes to deliver a people sunk in the mire. He comes to deliver a people that are slaves to sin and under the bondage of Satan. So God has pledged to save us, and Jesus will be that Savior. And so by coming to be with us, God is coming to save us. And he takes on flesh for two reasons: so that he can identify with those with whom he will save, and so that he may go to the cross and in the flesh die in the place of hell-deserving sinners. He came to take our sins in the flesh and receive the wrath and the punishment the law and God demand for those sins in the flesh. And as he hangs there on the cross, bloody, beaten, humiliated, naked, exhausted, and dying, he says, "My name is Emmanuel. I came to be with you, so that I could die for you, so that you might have everlasting life." Number two, not only Emmanuel, God with us, to reverse our condemnation, but secondly, Emmanuel, God with us, to respond to our cries. If the birth of this child will be God with us, that then must mean that before he comes, we are without God. Say amen. So sin has come between man and God. The name Emmanuel here means that God in Christ is with us, and the idea is in a near association. The Greek participle here used and expresses the strongest form of the word with. It is not merely in company with us, but it is with, together with, and sharing with. It is a firm bond, implying, if not declaring, close fellowship. God is specifically, particularly, and closely with us. It's not just a baby in a manger. He came to be in fellowship with us. He came to be with us, sharing with us, together with us in a strong sense. The implication of God with us will mean that everywhere our life will lead us, every trial that our life will go through, every difficulty that we may trod, God has already been there. Were you in a cradle? Jesus was in a cradle. Somebody help me. Were you a child under parental authority? Christ was also a boy in the home at Nazareth. Somebody help me. Have you entered into life's battles? Your Lord and Master did the same. He suffered and dealt with life's difficulties. Are you alone? So was He. Where can you find yourself? On a hilltop or in a valley, on the land or in a sea, in the light or in the darkness, where you can say, Jesus has not been there before you. Another wonderful thing about God is He is with us in our sorrows, is He not? The sorrows of poverty, He had no place to lay His head. The griefs of death, Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, slandered for righteousness' sake, betrayed. Do not forget that He too had a familiar friend who sold Him for the price of a slave. On what stormy seas have you been tossed which He was not tossed? What darkness has He not experienced that you have? In everything that you go through as a child of God, He screams at you, I am with you, I am Emmanuel. Be not dismayed. I have come to be your companion and your God. And the most glorious thing about God is this: He will be with us in our death. Because He knows the pangs of death, doesn't He? He knows what it is to die. I was listening to R.C. Sproul this week. He passed away this week, R.C. did. And they asked Him about death, and He said, I'm not afraid to die, it's just the process of dying that I'm afraid of. Jesus knew the process of dying. He would know the separation of body and spirit. He would know what it would be like to be buried, and yes, He would know the resurrection. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He has condescended to win our salvation, and He has condescended to be with His people every step of their spiritual journey. Say amen. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Finally, Emmanuel, God with us, to realign our communing. To realign our communing. Do you understand that God is with us and God has saved us so that we might have fellowship with Him? Now, we have fellowship with a lot of things, but God has saved you so that you will fellowship with Him. He is with us. He indwells us so that we will fellowship with Him. He's not supposed to get leftovers. Say amen. He's supposed to get first fruits. It is amazing that God wants to walk with us. He walked with Adam. He walked with Eve. The Bible tells us Enoch walked with God. Isn't it amazing that God would want to walk with you? He wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you through His Word. He wants you to talk to Him in prayer. He wants us to worship Him and glorify Him and honor Him both individually and corporately. He said in Revelation, "I stand at the door and knock." And that's not a salvational passage. He's standing at the door and knocking at the door of a church. And He says, "If anyone would open, I will come in and I will sup," or "I will fellowship with him." God desires the fellowship of His people. It is Emmanuel, God with us. And God just didn't come born in Bethlehem, live 33 years, die on the cross, and go back to heaven and leave us by ourselves. He said, "If I leave, I'll send a comforter." And who is the comforter but the Spirit of God? God is with us right now. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "Those who will have the Spirit will be better off than those who just had me." So God is not distant. He's not far away. He's not unreachable. God is with us now. Matter of fact, from the time of His birth to now, God's been here. He is near and He is here, and it is His face that we should seek. He is with us. He is with us tonight. Should we not praise His name? He is with us tonight. Should we not glorify His name? He is with us tonight. Should we not honor His name? You don't have to wait to get to where He is. You can praise Him right now because He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Hasn't God been with you today? Has He not protected you today? While you slept last night, was He not working on your behalf? The God who never sleeps, the God who never slumbers, was He not working on your behalf while you rested and slept last night? Has He not taken care of you today? Has He not led you away from dangers that you don't even know about? Has He not provided for you today? Has He not pardoned your sins for you today? Has He not directed your steps today? Has He not sovereignly ruled and overruled everything that has happened to you today? Sure, He's with us. If you're His child, He lives in you. And you know what He's doing? In you? He's restoring the image of Himself in us. He has restored in us spiritual life through regeneration. He has reconciled us back to God in justification, and He is right now restoring the image of God that has been marred by sin in sanctification. And if God is with us, if that is true, preacher, if God is with us, should we not seek Him and have communion and fellowship with Him now? Not absent, and He's not hard to find. The problem is we don't look very hard. Matter of fact, I would say this: if God was hiding, He hides in the easiest place to find him. He's behind the curtain. Look down, you'll see his feet. He's not hard to find. He wants to be found by you. It's our problem that we don't want to find him. He is with us. That is where God is. He is with us. And isn't that why the shepherds came to him? And isn't that why the wise men came to him? Emmanuel has come. God has come. Let us go see this thing. If God is with us, will we not then be with him? The fellow that came Sunday night, Jeff, he wanted to interject that, of course, things we already know, that December 25th is not the birth of Christ. We know that, right? Although I do know a preacher who said he could argue the fact that Jesus was born on December the 25th, but probably not. And then he said, you understand that Christmas is not commanded to be celebrated in the Bible. And I said, I know that. And, of course, I understand the Puritans, who I read a lot of, were starkly against Christmas. The reason being is that for a child of God, Christmas should be every day. Why do we, and sometimes we don't, but we should, if we celebrated Christmas correctly, why would we just major on Christ and His coming one day a year? Shouldn't that not be something we celebrate and glory in every day of the year? Of course, I think several hundred years have proven probably the Puritans are right. Man will ruin anything. Commercialism will ruin anything. But the thing is, it's not that God came and was with us. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us. And He is with us for forgiveness. If we need forgiveness, He's close to, that we can call upon Him to forgive us. We can cry out to Him of our sins and our failures, and we can find forgiveness in Him. He's with us. He's with us to give us strength. He's with us to give us encouragement. He's with us to help us, and He's with us to do those things that are impossible. He's with us for the truth. He's with us when we are feeble. He's with us when we have fallen. You ever notice how few friends you have when things get tough? When you got plenty of... Let me tell you something. If you ever play the lottery and win it, you'll have all kinds of friends. You'll have family showing up at your house you never have seen at a family reunion before. But they don't come around now. You know why? You're broke as a convict. Right? But you know who will never leave you? No matter how feeble you get, no matter how fallen you get. Think about this. When we get old and we get feeble, you know, people, and we get to where we can't come to church anymore, people just tend to forget us, right? You know who will never forget you? He's Emmanuel. He is God with us. In confused times, Jerry, in confused times, God is with Wendell. He is Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel. Interpreted so that we will understand what Emmanuel means. God is with us. So if God is with us, come to Him. He came to be with you so that we would come to be with Him. Emmanuel, God with us. It is glorious, isn't it?